Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a number of announcements this morning. First of all, if you're new to the church especially, we have the ritual of friendship cards in the back of the pews. Please fill those out. Minister's office hours are this week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. On Wednesday, we have a prayer labyrinth. And if you've never done that, that will be over here in the other room. And if you've never done that before, it's quite interesting. It's a time of reflection and a time of prayer. And that is Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. and Tuesday from 2 to 6 p.m. On Thursday, we have our Maundy Thursday service, and that is at 7 p.m. Service of candles and readings commemorating the events of the Last Supper, and 8 p.m. a common meal, a simple but joyous meal of bread. And everyone is invited to bring a loaf of their favorite bread to share with one another. The meal is held in the Easter room here and takes place immediately following the service, and all are invited to attend. Are there any other announcements? Okay. In the dining room, we are selling cookies. And there's, what, by the dozen?
$4 per dozen. We have 22 dozen.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are there any other announcements? No? The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 192. All glory, laud, and honor. And please stand. Blessed are those who know the festal shout, who walk in the light of God's presence. They rejoice in God's name all day long. They celebrate God's holiness. Let us pray. In a world in which we cheer athletic teams, in which we applaud performances of music and drama, in which we idolize glamorous celebrities, we pause to honor the humble man who gave of himself so all of us can live. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. This is the sixth Sunday of Lent, Palm Sunday. This time we have the lighting of the Lenten cross. This is the Sunday that celebrates the entry of Christ into Jerusalem, as the people waved palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There's a beautiful Italian custom of offering palms blessed by the priest on Palm Sunday as a token of reconciliation and peace to those with whom they have quarreled or been on not too friendly terms. Blessed be the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Cross shines in splendor.
The cross is our victory and our strength.
May we have the courage to forgive those who have offended us and the faith to renew our commitment to the Lord each day of the year. Father in heaven, out of your great love for the world, you reconciled earth to heaven through your Son Jesus. Fill us with your tenderness, we may all be reconciled to one another in love and in mutual affection. Amen. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. We give today because we have experienced the grace of God through Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for our sake became poor, so that we by his poverty might become rich. Our offertory hymn is found in the Chalice Hymnal on page 601, verses 1, 2, and 4. I am thine, O Lord.
Thank you. Gracious God, as we give these offerings, we recognize that our possessions belong not only to ourselves, but our brothers and sisters as well. For you have called us to be instruments of your grace. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as an ensign to the peoples, himself the nations seek, and his dwellings shall be glorious. In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant which is left of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathos, from Ethiopia, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise an ensign for the nations, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall sweep down upon the shoulder of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put forth their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river with his scorching wind, and smite it into seven channels, that men may cross dry shod. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant which is left of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is "The King is Riding By" by our sanctuary choir.
So he Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. This Palm Sunday, this last Sunday of March, this Sunday that we are finally getting some spring, and it's going to be the first Sunday of Holy Week. I'm very much looking forward to this week, as I'm sure you've heard, but I'm going to say it again because I don't want to take anything for granted. We have a lot of things going on this week. A lot of things. And we will start with our prayer labyrinth. Wednesday from 6 to 8, and a couple people have volunteered to help welcome people. It could be great if we could have one more person. If you can help with that, please let me know after church. We're also going to have the prayer labyrinth Thursday from 2 to 6. If you haven't done this before, I do invite you to try it. I think that once you try it, you'll want to do it again. It takes about 15, 20 minutes. You walk through the labyrinth, which will be made in the fellowship hall, and it is a time for prayer and meditation, a time to set your mind right and to sit a while in the presence of God. If you can find a little bit of time to do that, I do recommend it. And if your schedule does not fit in those hours, maybe talk to me. We'll see. It should be done by Wednesday in the afternoon. You might be able to come some other time. I recommend that to you. On Thursday, it's Maundy Thursday, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. We'll have our service from 7 to 8, as we always do. And then we'll have our common meal in the East Room immediately following. The common meal, if you haven't been, is a meal of breads. And everyone is invited to bring a bread, your favorite bread. Bread that you make, a bread that you buy at your favorite store or restaurant. Wanting some favorite bread of yours to bring and to share. You don't have to bring a bread to come to the meal. But we will all enjoy and share in the fellowship and the peace of that evening. It's one of the nights I look forward to the most all year round. Good Friday. Good Friday will be on Friday this year. We've made the executive decision. And the Connellsville Area Ministerial Association, as always, will be hosting the Good Friday service this year. It will be at the Lutheran Church, Trinity Lutheran, right up the hill. And again, the last couple years we've gone back to the 3-hour model. Now, if you want to, you can stay for the whole 3 hours, but the way it's arranged is that you can come and go as you need, as it fits your schedule. A different minister will preach every half an hour. I invite you to find at least a half an hour between that time to go. It is a very meaningful service. It is based upon the 7 last words of Jesus Christ as he hung upon the cross. Sunday, next Sunday, we will have a wonderful service. It will be a joyous day of celebration, as Easter Sunday always is. And Mike and Trina will be help coordinating an Easter egg hunt after the service for the children. So please come back again in your Sunday best and bring a friend. It'll be a wonderful time. Let us give thanks to God for all that we have going on in the life of our church. Let's pray to God that we have the strength and the energy to do it all. I mean, we won't be able to do it without him. Without God's help in our life, this week above all weeks. And so now, as we come together, we give thanks to God in prayer for all that is happening in our community, that all is happening in the life of our church. I also want to give thanks that when we put our service together, when we have our order of service, we have a gap between the choir singing and my sermon. Because I don't want to have to follow the choir. I give thanks to God every Sunday that I don't have to follow the choir. We have some time to space that out, because as always, they give us such wonderful music. Let's give thanks to the choir again. We give thanks to God for all those who give their gifts and service to God in any way, whether it's singing in the choir, whether it's working around the church, whether it's teaching the children. Our kids' club finished another year. I have lost track. I believe it's the 35th year. If anyone knows for sure, let me know. Let us give thanks to everyone who's helped with Kids Club. Let us give thanks to our director, Nancy, and to our co-director, Melissa. Let us give thanks to all those who helped. Our youth groups are going. Today, the senior youth group will be meeting. In 2 weeks, the junior youth group will be meeting. Will they be meeting right after church?
After coffee hour,
which we will have in 2 weeks. Let us give thanks for our youth. Seriously, let's give thanks for our youth. They're going to be singing for us today. We are working on other things that the youth may be doing to lead in worship. It's a wonderful gift to have within our church. As we continue to lift up prayers and thanksgivings, let us give thanks. What else? What other thanksgivings do we have to share this morning? What are you thankful for? Everybody here in the church, absolutely. Nancy. We are all thankful for Nancy's family. We're all thankful for the family that God has given us. Thank you for sharing that with us today. What else? What other thanksgivings? Teresa. The sunshine and the warmth. Yesterday, that has to be the last day of winter. It's over. I declare it. Sunny. Absolutely. Painting. Discovering the joy of painting his grandfather. Yes. We give thanks for children. They make this time of year even more grateful. I'm grateful for people I haven't seen for a while. I'm grateful for people I see every Sunday. Let's continue to give thanks. Let's also lift up our concerns this morning. What do we need to ask God for? Roxanne? Pray for Betty, and we'll pray for Chad. Yes, Jackie, did you have something? Yes. Family, it's wonderful. It's wonderful when they come back. It's wonderful to have you. We give thanks. Did you have your hand up? Who was someone else? Yes, son. Young family, and know that God knows what they're going through, and pray that they turn to Him for help. Judy? Pray for Kate as she awaits her surgery. Pray that all goes well for her. George? For all those in that tragedy and others that we see all too often. And now, seeing none other, let us take a moment. Yes, Will. I'm sorry? Wonderful. Adeline is doing great. And you told me that Brogan returned home. So that is wonderful news. Continue to pray for them. We know that she still has far to go, but thank you for sharing that. Lloyd. We do rejoice with you, a wonderful gift, and thank God that your family is healthy. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Hosanna, Lord, praise be to the King of Kings. Now, O Lord, as we have come towards the end of Lent, to the time of Palm Sunday, we celebrate the entry of Christ into the city of Jerusalem, the entry of Christ into the hearts of many, and into the hearts of ourselves. Prompt us, Lord, to reevaluate our lives, to find that joy again. For we know that the crowd in the city, they welcomed him with joy and singing and great hosannas, and within a week they had fallen away or turned completely. And Lord, we confess that oftentimes, our faith is not as enthusiastic as it is on a day like this. Perhaps we were won over and a passion of conversion, and then fell away into a lukewarm existence. Perhaps we've been Christians all our life and kind of taken it for granted. Help us, Lord, to have every Sunday as a Palm Sunday. Do every day welcome your Son, Jesus Christ, into our lives with joy and singing and happiness. We would worship you sincerely, Lord. We would follow you carefully and grow in grace and holiness. But we confess that we need your help. We need your help to be bold in our faith and daring in our service, to the end that your name be honored on earth, even as it is in heaven. Your help to put aside the things in our life that distract us, that consume us or delay us. Things that we think are important, but in the grand scheme of things, are not so. Help us to remember what is central. Help us to know that if we put Christ in the center of our lives, and all the other things that we had in the center before, if we push them to the side, our lives will be easier, less cluttered. We will be able to make sense of the noise and the cacophony of all the things that come at us. With Christ in the middle of our lives, the joy will come. And as we progress through Lent, O Lord, enable us to deepen our faith, deepen our spiritual life. Whether we are new in the faith or been in the faith for a long time, always we need to go deeper. Teach us, Lord, to pray rightly, that we may know the blessing of being rooted and grounded in your Holy Spirit. Focus our minds upon Jesus Christ, for it is in him that we see the example we are to follow, the life that we are to live, the words that we are to guide our lives by. As we pray these things for ourselves, Lord, we pray them for others, that they may know, that they may follow, that they may go deeper in their faith. You have heard all of the names and all of the prayer requests this morning and all of the thanksgivings. We give you thanks for all that's happening in our lives, all that's happening in our church, all that's happening in our world that makes us see your goodness and your joy. We lift them up to you as our offerings to say that you, O Lord, are the source of our joy. And all things that make us happy in this world remind us of you. And the Lord, we lift up our concerns. For where we see pain or suffering or worry, we do not see a God who has given us these terrible things. Instead, we see things that have happened because we have gone astray, or others have gone astray and their actions have hurt others. Or things that have happened, we do not know why. But we see in you, O Lord, someone, a God, a Lord who is with us, who has given us the faith to deal, the ability to change the things that we can change, and the ability to deal with the things that we cannot. You, O Lord, have given us a Holy Spirit that is with us always. And so as Adeline continues to be in the hospital, as Kate awaits a surgery upon her brain, as Chad awaits surgery for his elbow and a great deal of recovery and work to be done, as Betty is in the hospital, as a young family is struggling in their marriage and in their lives, we pray that none of them or their family members, in difficulty and in trial, will turn away from you, but instead will turn closer. For now is when they need you the most. We pray for them. We pray that they will get their strength from you. We pray that if there is anything we may do to help them, you will open our eyes to see. We pray, Lord, for all those who have lost loved ones in the plane crash and in other tragedies that we see throughout the world. And we give you thanks, Lord, that we are able to be connected with them through prayer, through service, and through hope. It is in your Son, Jesus Christ, who has given us all these things, your Son, Jesus Christ, who has entered into our lives that we may enter through the gates of heaven. And know that when we do, our reception will be like unto the one that Christ himself received that day in Jerusalem. But unlike the events that took place in Holy Week, our reception will never die out. Our reception will never fade away. Our reception will be eternal. It is in your name we thank you for this gift. It is in your name we pray to you. It is in your name we say, Amen. Now is the time in our Sunday service that we invite the children to come forward. However, instead of a junior sermon today, the Kids Club Choir will be singing songs they've been working on during Kids Club, led by our music director, Cheryl Keller. We invite the Kids Club Choir to come up to the altar and all other children to come and sit down where you normally do to watch. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, and that's found on the New Testament portion of your pew Bible on page 47. Here begins the reading. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In like a lion, out like a lamb. That is the motto for the month of March. I remember memorizing that as a kid in grade school, and for the most part, that is true. Most Marches start out in winter and they end like spring, and in many ways, that is the case this year. I know that the first week of March was basically exactly the same as all of February. I usually go to Founders Day for Bethany College. It's the first Thursday of March, and this year was special because it was the 175th anniversary of the college and the founding of the college. I was very much looking forward to that. The first Thursday of the month, I could not go because not only could I not get out of my driveway, I wasn't even able to get into my driveway because the snow that Thursday was so bad. I believe that was the 5th of March. And although yesterday what did feel winter-like, today feels a good bit like spring, and we have clearly, things are clearly better now than they were at the beginning of the month. But now, as we come close to Easter, the first Sunday of April, as the sun begins to warm and the flowers begin to bloom and sprout, it's starting to look real. It's starting to come true. In like a lion, out like a lamb. By the end of April, or by the time Easter gets here, our daffodils will be growing if they're not already in your front yard. I have seen the sprouts, I have seen the blooms coming on our forsythia bushes. That's basically one of the first signs that spring is here. March is the most transitional of months. I have also heard it said that it is the cruelest month because you're ready for spring. You get a glimpse of it, and then it gets taken away from you, and you never know what you're going to get. If you can get through March, then you're set. That's why it gets the designation, in like a lion, out like a lamb. Because you just can't get much different than that. You can't get much different than a lion and a lamb. The lion is a king. That's what we call it. King of the jungle. Because he is so large, he is such an imposing creature. On one of the good days, one of the spring days this March, we went to the zoo. We've never gone to the zoo this early. But it was a good day. And so we went, and there was the lion. And it wasn't a hot day, so he wasn't just lying there like a lump. He was in his element. He was looking good. And we got to see him up, well, relatively up close as you'd want to see a lion. And we got to hear him roar. He truly is an imposing creature. You can understand why he gets the nickname or the title King of the Jungle. Fierce and violent, his roar could scare any animal, even a human being that encounters him. He speaks with a thunderous roar that is heard from far away, scares away the enemies, or lets the prey know he is coming. The lion is a meat eater, and feast upon smaller, meeker animals with impunity. Now, small and meek, those are two words that you could use to describe a lamb. As I said, the polar opposite of a lion. It is shy. It is cute. You could get as close to a lamb as you possibly would like to and have no fear. You would never try to pet a lion. But a lamb, no problem. The lamb speaks in cute, quiet bleats and baas that scare no one except perhaps itself. It is not the king of anything. It is not even a fully grown animal. It is the child of a sheep. It is a sheep that is very young. It is passive. It hunts no animals. It bothers no animals. It prefers to eat grass. And they are therefore frequently the target of other animals that do hunt. It suffices to say that lions and lambs are natural enemies, or they would be if they grew up together in the same area. If lambs roamed the jungle, they would not roam them long because of the lion. If lions roamed the pastures, the lambs would not be there long. Nobody would ever confuse a lion with a lamb. And yet, these two animals are frequently grouped together throughout the Bible. Isaiah, for instance, mentions them when he speaks of the time when the Messiah will come. This idea of the Messiah, God's anointed, the one who will come in the line of King David, he will do many things. He will unite the kingdom. He will restore Israel's glory. And on that day, the lion shall lie down with the lamb. The point being here that there will be peace. Enemies will become friends. Those who fought with one another before or preyed upon one another will not. Death and killing will cease. The world will return to that paradise that was Eden. Because in this image, it does call us back to the garden. It calls us back to the way in which God intended the world to be. In the garden, Adam and Eve were vegetarians. And the fact is that all creatures there were vegetarians, for there was no killing, no food chain, no dog-eat-dog world as we have come to know it. Lions and lambs lived together in harmony. Children and asps, snakes, they lived together in harmony. There was peace throughout all of creation. And that paradise will be recreated when the Messiah comes. So many people, when the Messiah did come, they had this idea of him being more of a human being, like King David, of a military savior, someone who would get rid of the Romans, get rid of King Herod. They had kind of lost this other aspect, this spiritual aspect. Because the idea is that the Messiah will restore what has been lost. Heaven on earth will be real. For if the lion and the lamb can live together, then certainly, when Christ enters Jerusalem, the Jews and the Romans could stop their arguing and bickering. They could live side by side. Or at least that was, to some people, the hope and the expectation. But as I said to others, the expectation was, no. We're going to get rid of the Romans altogether. We're going to stomp them under our heel once the Messiah comes. And when the Messiah comes, certainly Jews and Gentiles could live together, or perhaps all the Gentiles would become Jews. But then again, other people had other ideas. No. Those Gentiles were going to get wiped out once the Messiah came. And so we have to know that when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, finally entered the city of Jerusalem, there was much, much rejoicing. But we must also know that many people rejoiced for many different reasons. And that helps to explain why just a few days later, most, if not all people, their cheers turned to jeers. So many expectations awaited Jesus Christ when he entered the city. He could not fulfill all of them. And pretty much fulfilled none, at least immediately. At least upon first look. Now, Christ followers, they long for peace. They long for glory. They long for the kingdom. But only after Jesus defeated the enemies. The Romans, the Pharisees perhaps, even other Jewish people, as I say. the non-believers, the ones who didn't get on the bandwagon and follow Jesus right away. But the words of Isaiah still rang in their minds and their hearts, if not their lips that day. For Isaiah's prophecy is significant, not only because it invoked the image of lions and lamps and this vision of the messianic being, but because lion and lamp are also two names given to the one whom we believe is God's Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Jesus is both lion and lamb. We use those words to describe him all the time. Jesus is not called a lion as often, but he is often portrayed as one. Lions are the king of the jungle, king of all beasts. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. On much medieval armor and shields and crest, the lion appears to demonstrate that the king is Jesus' representation on earth as it was believed then. And why the lion? Because Jesus was King of Kings. He was the greatest of all. In C.S. Lewis's classic tale of wonder and grandeur, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the lion, Aslan, is crucified upon a stone table only to live again and is probably the most famous Christ figure in all literature. And so when Jesus is portrayed as a lion, it represents his kingship, his lordship over our lives and indeed the world, that any king upon the world pales in comparison to the King of Kings. But Jesus is a different kind of lion. Not the lion that preys upon others or destroys others, but the lion that lies down. A lion that in many ways acts like a lamb. And that is the other description, the other metaphor, the other image we use to describe our Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Lambs are meek, they are gentle, they are loving, and they are sacrificed. In Jesus' time as an offering to God on Passover, in particular, a lamb was sacrificed and its blood placed on the door of the enslaved Israelites in Egypt in order for the angel of death to pass over their home. This is where this celebration gets its name. And this is the celebration that Jesus came into Jerusalem for. And indeed, all the people did. Jerusalem was a big city. But at Passover, it was bursting at the seams when the people came from all around to celebrate the Passover meal. Central to it was the sacrificing of a lamb to God. Jesus is often called the Paschal Lamb, which comes from the Hebrew term Pesach, which means deliverance, and Passover, because he fulfills that observance, that the angel of death shall pass over. But instead of saving the firstborn son of each family, as the Passover lambs did, the Lamb of God saves them all. Each member of the family, each member of God's family. In the Byzantine Catholic tradition, there are many different foods that are made on Easter, and one of them is lamb cake, and I became familiar with that when I married into a Byzantine Catholic family. Once my mother-in-law made a lamb cake on Easter that was so heavy that the head of the lamb could not stay on. It kept falling off. It looked really good when it was being made, but the neck could not support the weight of the head. And she was distraught. I mean, she worked really hard on it. She really wanted it to be right. And myself and my wife and my sister-in-law, we thought it was kind of funny. We kind of laughed when it fell, but then, you know, she got a little upset. But, you know, it was appropriate. For if Jesus is the lamb that conjures up nice and sweet images of a cute little baby sheep in her head, let's also remember the dark undertone of what that means. A lamb led to the slaughter. For he knew when he went to Jerusalem what was to come. And he knew that the cheering upon Palm Sunday would become the jeers on Good Friday. You could describe Jesus' time in Jerusalem before the crucifixion as just like that phrase, in like a lion, out like a lamb. For on Palm Sunday, he entered the city like a lion to the roars of the crowd, to the roars of the admirers. Hosanna! Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise to the King. On Palm Sunday, he entered that city like the lion that roars whenever he wants to announce that he is the king of the jungle. But it wasn't him that was doing the roaring. Let's be clear. He was finally being treated as the king that he was, the king that his disciples knew him to be. Here the disciples are finally getting what they bargained for, a little celebration, a little appreciation, a little joy. This must be what it meant to follow the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah. It's what they hoped for when they agreed to follow him, when they dropped everything to follow him. This celebration, this coronation, was even approved of by Christ himself. For when the Pharisees heard them shouting, they said, "Stop, tell them to stop." And he said to them, "I tell you, that if I tell them to stop, the very stones will cry out." Jesus, up to this point, he's been a little bit averse to praise. Even when people know that he's the Son of God, he tells them to be silent. It confuses, it confounds the disciples, but on Palm Sunday, he lets it all go. But by Good Friday, he left the city like a lamb, sacrificed in the same way as the lambs for Passover were, only with not as much dignity, being removed to the hill of Golgotha, being removed outside of the city to this place of shame, torment, and death. Whereas the lambs are sacrificed in the temple and allowed to die quickly, he was slaughtered upon a cross, naked and humiliated for all to see. No one recognized him as king that day, and he roared at no one, except perhaps to God, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Going from lion to lamb is as complete a change as can be. Going from Palm Sunday to Good Friday is as complete a change as can be. And when we think of that phrase, "in like a lion, out like a lamb," we think of the month of March. It gives us 31 days to prepare for the change. That is actually a change from bad to good. But then Holy Week comes. We get 6 days, actually five, to prepare for this change that goes from wonderful to absolutely terrible. And so I say that to you at the beginning of Holy Week simply to get you ready. Today is a day of rejoicing. Today is a day of joy, celebration. But we know that there are difficult days ahead. There will be plenty of time to think of and remember Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God in this week. We will have our service on Monday, Thursday. We will remember Jesus Christ going so far as to restrain Peter from resisting the soldiers with violence in the Garden of Gethsemane. We will be gathered together on Good Friday, where we commemorate Jesus being led like a lamb to the slaughter. There will be specials on television. There will be so many things to do to celebrate Easter. But today, on Palm Sunday, this is our day, our chance, to celebrate, to roar in celebration of the lion, the king of the jungle, the king of the ocean and the desert, and indeed the whole world, the king of heaven and earth. Now is our time to shout out, "Hosanna, praise be to the one who comes in the name of the Lord our God, to the king of our hearts," so that the stones will not have to cry out. Soon enough, we may whimper and bleat like lambs, but today, with the power and the glory of a lion, let us lift up our eyes and shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to our King." Let's simply remember to do it a little bit differently than those they did in Jerusalem that day. To hold back or to keep some energy to know that the celebration doesn't end on Palm Sunday, but it carries us all the way to Easter. But let's not stop or skip any steps in between. For the joy that we will have on Easter comes only if we go to Monday, Thursday, if we go to Good Friday, if we contemplate the cross, if we contemplate the way that the lion was treated like a lamb, so that we may always celebrate and rejoice and know that our entry into the great city is guaranteed because of his life, his death and resurrection. The fact that he is different than any other lion that has ever been is what makes him the King of Kings, the lion who acts like a lamb, the lamb that roars like a lion. Let us celebrate this today. Amen. Now the community responds, or now the community gathers at the Lord's table. All those gathered here this morning, all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Let us take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 194 in the Chalice Hymnal. 'Tis midnight and on all's brow. Let us sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Phoenix of ancient myth is a bird that is renowned for the fact that it died and lived again. When it died, it turned into ash, and then it rose from the ashes and therefore became a symbol of renewal, rebirth, resurrection. In fact, the city of Phoenix in Arizona got its name because it was built upon an old Native American city that died out. Was brought back to life, and from the ashes of an ancient civilization, a new one arose. And although there are no birds in our sanctuary this morning and no phoenixes, yet still there is something that has risen from the ashes. For on Ash Wednesday, we mark our heads with the ashes of last year's palms, from last year's Palm Sunday service. And we do so to remind ourselves that at the end of our life, our body returns to ashes, but our spirit returns to the one who made it, if we but believe in his goodness. And so Lent, then, which begins at Ash Wednesday, is a time for us to examine our spiritual lives and to get our spiritual lives in order so that at the end of our physical lives, we too, like a phoenix, will rise. And we think of that as we come to this table, for we remember that Jesus Christ himself rode in on Palm Sunday and only 5 days later died. Was crucified, and yet the story did not end there. It moved on to resurrection, to rebirth, to renewal. Like a phoenix rising from the ashes, he too rose, that we may as well. And so we gather at this table to remember that the Last Supper was not the end. It will not be for us. If we take the time to renew our faith, to revitalize our lives with Jesus Christ, if we take time to remember the ability that Jesus Christ has to raise up new life in our lives and at the end of our lives, our faith will be bolstered, it will be renewed, it will be made new. And if we do so, we remember then also that at the end of our life, when our body will return to ashes, our spirit shall return to the one who made it, our Lord and God, our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us share in the meal this morning with joy, with hope, and with celebration. That if death is not the end for Jesus Christ, it is not for us. It is not for those of us who are baptized into his life and also baptized into a resurrection like his. Let us share the meal this morning. Let us share our joy over this new life that is offered to us now in this world and that is offered to us eternally in the next. This morning, let us pray.
Let us pray. As we come to your table this Palm Sunday, enter our hearts, O living Christ. We shout our hosannas and proclaim our allegiance. Yet in the bright sunshine of celebration, there is a shadow of testing, pain, humiliation, and fear. But here at this your table, may the bread and the cup remind us of your loyalty to us and reinforce our loyalty to you. We share this meal you have given to us. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took a cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out and said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. As often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. how community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our closing music, our invitational hymn today, is a solo by Ken Metzger, The Holy City.
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then methought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on the streets, the gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing, for the night is
you that the palms will be back there in the narthex, and you receive them on the way out. And now let us bow our heads for the benediction. May the Christ, the Lord, the Lion, and the Lamb be with you this day and every day of the week ahead. And may you each day shout out with praise and joy, Hosanna, praise be to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Amen.